Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Al Sesson. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
I'm going to begin in just a second, but before I dig into my message, I understand that Father's Day and other holidays bring very different emotions for different people. All of us look at Father's Day differently. Most of us celebrate. We thank God for our dads that we have, or like myself, we thank God for a dad that's already in glory, already in heaven. My dad is there. I'm sure he's golfing if he can, because he loved to golf. And that's all wonderful. We enjoy barbecues or whatever, but for some of us, it's a sad reminder. It's a hard day, a broken relationship, something that's failed. There are sitting here this morning women who are single parents and men that are single parents. And in no way is what I'm going to share intended to make you feel bad. I want to mention a scripture that I wrote in after the fact that God gave me for you. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, God said, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Back in the book of Isaiah chapter 54, God actually says that he will be a husband to the widows. How many know that God can make up the lack? Amen. I had a young woman after the early service come over. I met her for the first time. She's fairly new here, and she's a single mom, three kids, and she thanked me for the message. She said she wanted to stand up at the end when I had the dad stand, but she talked about the fact that God has made up the lack, that God has enabled her to pay bills when there wasn't money enough to pay bills. God has taken care of her. So I honor all of you that are doing it by yourself. And I know that God will be a father and God will be a husband. Amen? Amen. I want to build on what Pastor Jamie has already begun to talk about. I want to talk to fathers, and I'd like us to consider what makes a man a good dad. What makes a good father? I grew up in the 50s. I know I don't look that old, but I grew up watching television back when there were like four channels, and I would look forward to a show called Father Knows Best. It starred Robert Young, as Jim Anderson. He knew best. And there was another show that the millennials never heard about, called Leave It to Beaver. Honest, that was the name. Hugh Beaumont was Ward Cleaver. These sitcoms presented fathers in a good light, portrayed them as intelligent and relevant and loving. Their kids, their children would go to them for help and so on and so forth. It was really nice. It was warm and fuzzy. Dads were respected and looked up to. But then the 70s happened. And in January of 1971, which, by the way, was the year I graduated from high school, a new sitcom named All in the Family aired for the first time. It ran through the 70s until 79. It starred Carol O'Connor as Archie Bunker. Just the name tells you something. Archie was portrayed as a self-absorbed male chauvinist. He was prejudiced against everybody. Anybody that was different, Archie didn't like them. Different color, different economics, different language, whatever. And the entire theme of the show was designed to make fun of the Father, to show him disrespect, to make him look as bad as possible. There were many spinoffs from this show. Moving On Up, remember that one? And so on and so forth. Other networks began to air because they were a hit. People loved it. Now, they seemed harmless, but the enemy used these comedies to begin to erode the fabric of American culture, a culture that had been built upon the Word of God, upon the truths in the book, built on respect for dad and for mom and for the family, and all of the things that we love and enjoy and that we guard, the enemy attacked. Fathers, marriages. Remember Sonny and Cher? The traditional family itself came under attack. I'd like to tell you this morning that the kind of revival that I'm looking forward to, the kind of revival that's already beginning, that we feel every time we worship, part of that revival is you and I taking back what the enemy has stolen. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Amen. Not just getting that back, but getting more than that back. And I don't know who it was that said what Jamie was talking about this morning, but I'm going to agree with it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe that Christian culture take over again. Amen? That prayer becomes like when I was in school, it was a daily part of our activity. I can see my teacher as she opened the shades, reading the Bible to us. And then we would pray. And then we would begin school. Can you imagine that? I know I'm not that old, but I actually, anybody else remember prayer and Bible reading? You're all over 50 too, yes. Praise God. How do we become good dads? You know, our world as a whole is in trouble. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that. There are a lot of negative things going on. It's really sad, and it could be depressing, except that I've read the back of the book. I read the last chapter. I jumped ahead. I couldn't wait. And you and I win. God wins. I said God wins in the end. Amen? However bad it looks, God wins. But I want you to know that even among non-Christians, people that don't believe, there are some good dads. I believe that being a good dad, however, begins with being a believer. Amen? It begins with a commitment to the guy that wrote the book, to God himself. Because as a preacher of the gospel, I'm convinced that just good intentions, just gritting our teeth and clenching our fist and trying to do our best by itself won't get it done. I believe that we live in a day and age when we need power that isn't ours. Amen? I said we need power that isn't natural. We need something supernatural. We face challenges that our mom and dad didn't face. Their dads didn't face technology that didn't exist. In the Passion Translation, it says in 2 Timothy, but you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce. People will be self-centered, lovers of themselves and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around with arrogant pride. And mock all that is right. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. Folks, that day is here. Amen? I mean, we live in this time. We live in this day and age. To keep our families safe and secure and protected, we need to raise our children up for success, in order to do that, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to give our lives completely to the Lord. Because, you know, God can do what we can't. God has wisdom that we don't have. You know, there are many books about being a good parent, but this is the book. Amen? The culture that's taught in the Word of God, the truths that are here, it will make us a better dad. And I believe being a good dad begins with giving ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know I'm preaching to save people. I know that you guys are probably, for the most part, I'm not sure exactly, but you're believers. Sometimes, however, even though we're believers, even though we're born again and on our way to heaven and so on, our relationship with the Lord can grow cold. That's why we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That's why we worship. That's why we listen to preaching like we get on a regular basis from this platform. Amen? Aren't you glad? Thank God for Pastor Jamie and all of the pastors and folks that work to make this church possible. It's important. Rather than becoming the man, God wants us to be on our knees. Amen? He wants us to be praying for wisdom and strength. He wants us to pray for and with our wives. Can I ask you guys, when's the last time you prayed with your wife? Now, I think in this group, don't raise your hands, but I think a large percentage of us pray together. It's important. I said it's important. My wife is my favorite prayer partner, and I thank God for her. There is power. I didn't plan to say this, but there is something supernatural when a husband and wife pray together. Amen. I mean, it's like, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. It's not just one and one, but it's one times a thousand when we get together and pray. Wives, pray for your husbands. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. But you know what you can do? Pray for us. Encourage us. Amen? I'm not ashamed to say that's what my wife does for me. The first step to being a good dad is becoming a believer. I mean a real believer. Not a church member, but a believer. Amen? Believing that if God said it, it's the truth. Now, this one is going to sound a little plain vanilla, but I believe the next step to being a good dad is loving our kids, loving our children. I mean, really loving our children. That's a no-brainer, Pastor. Well, of all the things that a father can give to his children, Jonathan, the best thing that you'll be able to give to your daughter or son, do you know yet? Daughter. Good. The greatest thing that you'll ever give, Jonathan, the greatest treasure will be you, your love, and your time. Amen? That's what kids need. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. God loves us, and He shows us our love every day on a regular basis. He prevents us from hitting deer. He fills the cupboards. He meets the needs. He pays the bills. But beyond those things, He fills the needs in here. Amen. The empty places, because He loves us. Paul said to the Corinthian church, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a noise, sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Now, I rewrote this verse. It's raining, by the way. This is my version. Though I provide a fine home in the suburbs or in the country and provide three healthy meals a day and give my children designer clothes trendy toys. But don't give them my love. It's hollow and empty. Are you there? There's not a toy that you can give a child that will ever come close to your love, dads. Really, your daughters need you. You need to be the man in their life until they're at least 16 or 18 or 25. If you're not the man in their life, there'll be someone in their life. And it may happen too soon, but that's a whole other teaching. Children raised in America today, for the most part, have more things than ever before in history. We know we have 32 grandkids. We know. I can't believe the toys that they have. And then Christmas comes and you have to come up with new toys. I mean, there is a toy for everything. More toys, more things than ever before. But things will never take the place, dads, of our love. Stuff can never replace a warm embrace, a hug. It can never replace the warm words, "You're doing a good job, honey. I love you, son. I love you, baby." Young children and teens alike, they long for time with daddy. I said this in the early service, and I'm going to say it again. I learn from the millennials. I learn from you folks. I think that you are the greatest generation of dads that I've ever seen in my lifetime. My dad and his dad, you know, they were great providers. My dad loved us by making sure there was a house, there was electricity, there was food, and so on and so forth. And, you know, we knew he loved us. But you guys get down and dirty playing with your kids. You do. I mean, some of you guys, you know, put hats on and have tea parties with your daughters. I applaud you. I honor you for being the dads that you are. Now, this is Father's Day. I'm not leaving the mothers out, but I only have just so much time. So I love you, moms. You do a great job. Real love spends time. You know, it has the tea party. It plays catch. It takes your son or daughter fishing. Girls like to fish. Girls, do you like to fish? My girl likes to, yeah. I mean, there's a girl that likes to fish right there. Spending time. God so loved the world that he gave. Real love gives. And it gives what the most precious treasure is. I'm telling you, I don't care how much money you have, how much property, how much of any possession, the greatest treasure that you have is your time. How do I know that? Well, men that have way more money than you and I will ever dream of get to the end of their life, and facing death, they'll give everything they have for another day, another week, another month. Time is something you can never get back. It's the most valuable asset that we possess. When we give this treasure to our children, we show them how much that we love them. We're all busy. Can I say, I don't care if you work in a factory, if you're a builder, if you're a pastor, we're all busy. There's more than enough stuff. There's more than enough things to take up our time. We could all come up with excuses. I don't have time to get that fishing pole and, you know, dig some worms. Come on. Can I tell you, young men, your kids are young for about 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden they're 18. Am I right, parents that have grown-up kids? It passes in a flash, right, Kim? I mean, now your son is your pastor. And you have grandkids. I mean, it comes and it goes. I have never once regretted that I took Adam fishing and hunting. I have regretted that I didn't do it more. You will never regret time spent with your kids. A good dad is real. Real. Proverbs verse 20, chapter 20, verse 7. Children are fortunate if they have a father who is honest and does what's right. Children learn at a very young age to see through baloney. They know what dishonesty is, and they know what hypocrisy is. Guys, we're not perfect. Human dads are not perfect. You know why? Because of the word human. We're not perfect. As hard as we try, apart from the blood of Christ, we're not perfect. It's only His blood that makes us righteous, right? You can say amen. It's only the blood of Christ, not of works of righteousness that we've done. Only by the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. We are not perfect, but guess what? Perfection is not necessary to being a good dad. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to always get it right. You have to want to get it right. I know that because God said in the Word, be perfect even as I am perfect. So that's what the bar is. He wants us to get it, but we won't always get it right. But guess what? You don't have to be perfect to be a good dad, but you do have to be real. You have to be real. If we act like we're always right, then we're living in dishonesty. We are not respecting our kids if they never hear us say, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, it's all right to say, I'm sorry to your child. In fact, it's not just all right, it's important when we screw up, when we make a mistake, to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Because if we want to see respect, if we want to reap respect, we have to sow it. We have to give respect to our kids. And we do that by honoring them. They're people. We don't own them. They are gifts from God. Amen? Amen. Well, if I ever made a mistake, I would own up to it. Well, 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Amen. Our kids will accept our humanity, but they will reject our hypocrisy. They'll resent it. And they will grow up not wanting what we preach. As believers, we need to be an example. A good dad leads his children, his family, by example. I remember as a young boy hearing my dad, who was a good man from a different generation, say these words, don't do what I do, do what I say. It sounds funny, but it's not good to say to our kids. We can say it, it doesn't work, because they're going to do what we do. Amen? For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, Paul said, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. You know what it means to imitate? It means to model or copy. Fathers, our children are going to copy what we do. They're going to model who we are. That's not a variable. That's not, well, they might do that. They will. In 2006, a country singer wrote a song about it. His name is Rodney Atkins. The song is called Watching You. I'm not going to sing it because I left my country voice at home. Besides, country music is not allowed from this platform. No, I'm just kidding. Driving through town, just my boy and me, with a Happy Meal in his booster seat, knowing that he couldn't have the toy till his nuggets were gone. Green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit my brakes and mumbled under my breath. His fries went a-flying and his orange drink covered his lap. Well, then my four-year-old said a four-letter word that started with S, and I was concerned. So I said, "Son, now where'd you learn to talk like that?" He said, "I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are." We got cowboy boots and camo pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do. So I've been watching you. We got back home and I went to the barn. I bowed my head and prayed real hard. I said, "Lord, please help me. Help my stupid self." Then this side of bedtime later that night, turning on my son's Scooby-Doo nightlight, he crawled out of bed and got down on his knees. He closed his little eyes, folded his little hands, and spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. I said, "Son, now where'd you learn to pray like that?" He said, "I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We like fixing things and holding Mama's hand. Yeah, we're just alike. Now, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do. So I've been watching you." With tears in my eyes, I wrapped him in a hug and I said, "My little bear is growing up." Dads, whether we like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, our children are watching us. It's not a question of whether they're watching. It's not a question of whether we'll be an example. The only question is, what kind of an example will we be? While Adam's coming back up, by the way, my little bear is now 40 years old and 6'5". And he's a worship leader in this house. Praise God. And I'm very proud of him. Guess what my ringtone is for Adam on my phone? Yep, you guessed it. Watching you. You know why? I mean, he's 40, Al. Isn't it time you had a different ringtone? No. Because I never stopped being his dad. Guys, I don't care what age you are. You never stop being father, just like mom, you never stop being mother. And I want the reminder, when Adam calls me, I hear, "I'm watching you, Dad, ain't that cool?" And it's a reminder every time. Now, when I look at him, it's a reminder to me that God can work miracles, because I did some things right, but I made some mistakes as a dad. Do you know that our past doesn't have to define our future? Do you know that you can, and I'm sorry if this sounds like I'm bragging, but you can wind up with a good finished product even if you're imperfect? Guess what? Adam's not perfect either. I know his kids think he is, but he's a good man. And being a good dad, for me, requires countless trips to an altar. It requires realizing just because I made a mistake once, I don't have to do it again. I said, I don't have to do it again. Just because I lost my temper with their mother, I don't have to do it again. Just because I reacted, just because I didn't show love yesterday, doesn't mean I can't show love today. Are you there, guys?